Did you guys, I don't know how many of you came in the north entrance of the church this morning. If you noticed a pile of stuff there, I don't know if it was a pile of dirt or if a tree died or something there. No, I didn't notice it either because it doesn't exist. I just wanted to say thank you to Joanna, right? There's never a pile of stuff around this church. It's always clean, and this is a lot of square footage. So thank you to her and her family and team that keep this place so clean. Thank you to our maintenance team that do such an incredible work. Good. And thank you to Tamara and her team, volunteers that decorated for this specific season as well. It always looks great in here. So when a political leader has an announcement to make, who do they call to make that announcement to? Yeah, they call the city together, especially if it's a mayor. Who else do they call together? Now, yeah, they're using social media, right? They're shooting out their announcements on Twitter. Sometimes there should be a little more thought before it's posted. Maybe most times. Who else do they call?
Newspaper.
Yeah, newspaper, the media outlets, right? Come and share this message. Wouldn't it be weird if a political leader had a major announcement to make and they went over to the where they slaughter animals and get one or two of the guys on the killing floor for their announcement? That's the only ones they announced it to. Or they go to the airport and grab one of the janitors and announce that message to them. I mean, we've already heard what happened in our scripture reading this morning. As the candles were lit, an incredible message, an event of a once in history. It's not just a once in a 100 years kind of flood or announcement, a policy change. This is a once in history announcement that's been made. You know, think of who you would call together. What if you were doing spelunking? You know what spelunking is? Exploring underground caves, and you found something that hadn't been discovered before. Who would you want to announce that to? It's something that could really change the way we view history or something. Just a major event. Who would you want to invite that to that? Well, as we walk through a series, by the way, we had a little glitch. We updated our computers in the church this week, and there's a glitch only on this one up here. Certain things can play and certain things can't. My PowerPoint is one of the things that can't. So if you do it old school, you can still open up your Bibles or find it on your phone, which is a good habit anyways. We should have a copy of it. We have access to them. So as we walk through Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20 this morning, hopefully you have a way to read it because it will not be coming up on the screen. If you're a visual learner, my apologies. You just got me to look at today. But we are considering the characteristics demonstrated by characters near the time of Jesus Christ's incarnation, which are countercultural when compared to our current context. Big long name. Hopefully it's an amazing contribution, though. Just a funny name for fun. But these Christmas characters, now we're dealing with the shepherds. We saw Joseph, we saw Mary. We won't be dealing with Herod because he doesn't demonstrate countercultural characteristics that are godly, that we want to emulate. But we'll deal with the shepherds because they do live out some of these characteristics. As we consider the shepherds, remember the story that was read? We'll walk through this a few verses at a time. And just hear this story, right? Sometimes, you already said it, Larry, right? We can get used to the Christmas music, carols, and become complacent. We fail to actually hear the message anymore. Let's really focus on these 12 verses. And what's God speaking to me, speaking to you, us, this morning? Would you join me in prayer? Lord Jesus, you are the teacher. You've revealed yourself through your word, which reveals the living word, you. And most fully, you have revealed yourself through you, Jesus, that came and lived life and then sent the Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth, the truth that sets free. So would you teach us here this morning? We ask it in your name. Amen. Yeah, the Christmas story goes on. Can you imagine going to work? Or think of a past job you've had, right? Where you're just going about your business, doing whatever, right? I was in shipping, receiving, I was in construction, I've milked cows. I can pick any one of those jobs. I can get pretty zoned sometimes. I'm just focused on the work, a more efficient, but still an excellent way to do the job. Not a way of short doing it a poor job, but more efficiently, I can get pretty zoned in. Think about that. The shepherds are just out there doing their job. It says, verse 8, in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. So it's night. Now often they would have a space where they could corral them in, a pile of rocks, and there would simply be an opening in those pile of rocks. Thus Jesus, he says, I am the gate. It's one of the terms he uses. And he would lay right in that opening as the shepherds would. Often they would gather in that opening so nothing harmful can get in there and harm the sheep. So they've got several flocks in there, often together. And they are the barrier between the harm, and they are the providers for these sheep. So they're there, but they're aware of the noises going on in this night sky and the night fields and whatever else is going on. And their position is humble. It's a humble position. It's not like they're the kings of the time or the rulers, but nor should we romanticize the occupation of shepherds. And I think we have, even Psalm 23, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And we often, people bring that up, not only at funerals, but other times where they're just sense needing the care of God. And he cares for them so intimately. And these truths are true. But at the time, shepherds were often very dishonest people too. Remember in the Old Testament where Lot's workers, shepherds, and Abram's shepherds were battling. They were fighting over wells. We can't raise this too high. It's a pretty humble position that they have, and they were considered unclean to the standards of the law. They represent outcasts and sinners for whom Jesus came. And so it's both of these contrasts, right? What kind of our usual picture of what shepherds are. Wow, it's that caring, nurturing, calling out by name. But it's also this really dirty, thankless work. And yes, some of them were known for their negative character rather than their good character. Out in the fields, the shepherds are just going about their business in like every other night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And what's their reaction? And they were filled with fear. I think I mentioned this last week, but there is not a case in Scripture where people encounter angels or the glory of the Lord where they're not filled with awe and reverence and fear. Something incredible here. Like, we can't even hardly picture it. But often they just drop to their on their faces in worship or in terror, fear, sometimes both. And the material that follows verse 9 here is a similar announcement that we encounter when we have angels coming. The angels appear, beginning of verse 9. There's a response of fear. We've just read that in the end of 9. Then there's a word of assurance and a divine message, and then there's a giving of a sign. Often, though, when we have an angel, there's an added piece that's missing here where there's some sort of objection. We've seen this with Joseph and Mary. Mary says, but how can this be? I'm a virgin. This just bewildered. And then there's a response to that. But here we just have angels appear. There's a response of fear. There's a word of reassurance. And then a divine message and a giving of a sign. So as we read this next part, keep that in mind. Verse 10, here's the incredible announcement to an incredible event. And the angel said to them, the shepherds, fear not. Fear not. This isn't judgment. Right? Don't most of us, right? We've even experienced this, right? People find out, ooh, I'm a pastor. And then they feel guilty about the way they've been talking. Right? They want to adjust the attitude that they've just demonstrated. Or they feel the need to put out the cigarette that they're smoking. They just feel guilty in my presence. I haven't said anything. I've been in conversation with them, maybe relationship with them for a long time. But now that they find out I'm a pastor, sometimes maybe they find out you're a believer, they just act differently. And when it's the glory of the Lord, it's an angel there, the fear is, oh, they become very aware, here's all the wrong things I've ever done, and I'm going to get it. It's like going to the principal's office, right? It's not usually for a good reason. We need to adjust that. Often it is, or when you come to the pastor's office, it's not for a good reason. Yeah, it probably is. I probably want to encourage you if I'm initiating the conversation. He says, fear not. It's not bad news. For I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. But I'm sharing it with you specifically. I bet they could dwell on this for years and still not comprehend. Wow, he brought this message to us, of all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Not just good news, amazingly awesome news. This is an event that would change history. It's a once in history event that's being announced here. He's Christ the Lord, the one you've been looking for, Savior. All sorts of names we could unpack here. And this, then he gives a sign. So he gives that divine pronouncement, and then he gives a sign. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Because this was unusual. Most children, even back in the day, weren't born in a barn or a cave or in a manger where cattle ate out of. But this would be the sign. That's the angel's message to them. Here's the sign. Here's what's going on. Here's who he is. Describes his character with these different names. And it would have meant so much more to them. In the city of David, a Savior. They're knowing the prophecies. The Savior would come and be a descendant of David, who is Christ, the Messiah. Christ the Lord. This is God incarnate. God being born, like more than we can comprehend even hardly now, let alone these poor shepherds would have been just bewildered by this message. And then it gets ramped up. Then it gets more. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude. That's a huge, many, many of them, of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased. That's a powerful phrase too. They're praising God and saying glory to God in the highest. That's in the heavens, his rightful place, rules over all creation. And on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. That can make us really quiet. Are you really pleased with me, God? Do I need to do a little more to be pleased? But he's Christ the Savior. The amazing thing about this message is we can't earn it. We'll never earn it. He comes and he says, this is a gift to receive. And he comes to the shepherds, not because they were more worthy than other people around, but it's just an act of grace. This is an act of grace. Christmas is an act of grace. Grace coming among us in a way that provides a way we can be in right relationship with God. This whole multitude, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. That is, those who are looking for the Savior, those who are trusting in him. And God realizes that's a journey. Hardly anybody at the time got that he was the Messiah. But these shepherds are in a humble state, a humble position, just by their role. So really, I don't know. That doesn't count. On my slides, I blocked out humble beside them, because that was just their lot in life. That was just their role. And they heard the angels. They heard this message. Well, you know what? If there's a whole multitude of angels up there, who wouldn't be able to hear, right? So I'm not really crediting with them, that with them as a characteristic either. But if we read this whole story, I do go back and say they were humble. They were teachable in that moment. And they received it. So they did have a humble attitude as well. And further, they heard in a way that they at least started to comprehend. See, Jesus said this too, right? Many people, I've done all sorts of signs, because it wasn't just because the angels filled the sky that they had to really hear and comprehend. Jesus comes and he's healing all sorts of people, more than can be recorded. Our Bible would be way longer if they actually had recorded all the miracles he did. And yet many people still went, covered their ears, covered their eyes, and challenged him and confronted him. You can't be. We still don't believe. Still asking for more. Show us more. And so just because they came in such a spectacular way doesn't mean that the shepherds needed to really hear. So I go back and give them credit for that one as well. And then the story continues. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known. And they went with haste. They went with haste. I don't know if you can still hear me back here. They went with haste. They cruised. But it wasn't the speed that they went with that is critical here. Just like Mary went with haste over to Elizabeth, but it wasn't the speed that she traveled with. Remember, this is night. Wouldn't it be weird? They're out there, I don't know. I walk home from the church quite late sometimes, and I walk down some alleys, and it's some nights when there's a good cloud cover, it's really dark. I can just barely see some sort of light at the end of the alley. I don't have any peripheral vision. It gets pretty dark. These guys are out in the fields. They didn't run into Bethlehem, tripping over rocks and whatever else. The haste here, if you look at it, it's clearly that they responded in obedience. They heeded the message. That's why I say they had a humble attitude. And they really heard God. Because their response is so immediate. They heeded the message. They obeyed right away. And they went with haste and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. Just as was said, here is the sign. And they found it just like that. So it refers more to their obedience, as R.H. Stein puts it. So they hurried off. This refers more to the obedience of the shepherds than to the actual speed of their travel. So it's not running frantically through the night, but rather they started out quickly, soon as the angel returns to heaven. They said to one another, let's go see this thing. But realize they're abdicating their responsibility. They're the shepherds of these sheep. They're walking out of that gate, leaving sheep exposed. But this is a once in a history event. And they've just got a command from God. And that command is way bigger than the command they previously had. Have you ever been in your workplace where you recognize, wow, God's up to something here? And I've got to disengage. I used to install water systems for, I don't know, a year early on in our marriage. Built reverse osmosis systems and we'd install them in businesses and homes and whatever else. And I remember installing a business. This was during the time I was discerning and wanted to go into full-time ministry. Because as I'm installing the water system, the homeowner is just making some comments once in a while. And I could tell this person really needs some care. And I was recording my own hours at the time. I was technically self-employed there, so I'd give my hours and he'd pay me hourly and whatever. So I logged out of, okay, I'm disengaging from the work of installing. Because this isn't just a conversation I can kind of have on the side while I do my work. This person is in the throes of grief here. And God's up to something. And I'm going to disengage from this and go this direction and just visit for a while and care for them. And my boss was a believer. He had no problem with that. I let him know, here's why I was that long at that job. I disengaged to care for her. And he didn't even care that I had logged out in my mind, right? I didn't charge him for those hours. We have an authority speaking to us. This is God incarnate. And the message of God being born among us far outweighs whatever other responsibilities that we have and mandate from other people. And may our obedience be that responsive. Let's go see this thing. Are we that attentive when God's up to something in one of our neighbor's lives? He says, hey, go and speak with that neighbor. Do we go with that kind of immediate response? Or do we need the flashy show of angels to get our attention? Can we hear, can we heed and obey the message of God? And go and see the sign and be a part of what God has said he's up to. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. So they're telling Mary and Joseph, whoever else is there, the innkeeper, they're explaining, here's what happened to us out in the field, here's why we're here now. So they're sharing the story back and forth, probably heard some of Mary and Joseph's story, the journey they're on. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Wow, I mean, the angels are announcing the birth of your child, right? Mary would have been bewildered. We talked about her last week. So these shepherds truly were humble in attitude. They heard the word of God, heard the announcement, and they heeded it. They responded. And then we have verse 20. And the shepherds returned back to their original jobs out in the fields, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard as it had been told them. This is totally out of character. Most shepherds are, hey, they share pretty good with the other shepherds, but they're not out proclaiming around town what's going on. It's not their character at all. They're shepherds for a reason. They'd rather spend time with animals than people. But they go out so transformed by this event. They're out there praising God. Look at all the stuff that's gone on. And they're praising God. Praising God is the proper response. Not only for the believer, but all of God's creation, as Psalm 148 says. All creation. When we actually really hear and understand the message of God, God incarnate, and what he's doing, what he's made possible, that we can be in right relationship with him. Messiah has come, and we celebrate it at Christmas. When we really grasp that, the only appropriate and the immediate appropriate response is praising God in a way that flows all throughout the community. Why do we go caroling now? That's one way. We're going praising of God. I remember, oh man, a bunch of times I've gone caroling. One, I'm really self-conscious that I don't have a clue what pitch and tone and some of these other things are. So I'm just floating around there in my singing. I'm really self-conscious of that. I love going with a bigger group, and I'm just kind of, because I like singing. I love that kind of praise. But yeah, if there's too few of us, I'm real timid, and it becomes about me. But it's never been about me. It's about God. And these shepherds, totally out of their character, are praising God so much that the whole town is noticing, what in the world? What are these crazy shepherds doing? And they're proclaiming the message. Well, God's proclaimed a message to us, brothers and sisters, through his word, in our prayer times, all sorts of things. He's proclaimed a message to us. He's revealed who he really is. God. It's not just a cute little baby. Maybe it was that too. But it's God. He's worthy of all praise and glory and honor. The term praising was a favorite of Luke's. It's found 8 times in the New Testament, 6 of which appear in Luke and Acts, that Luke wrote. Praising God, this phrase of so much of what we exist for. We exist to glorify God. How are we doing that in the community? The shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as he had been told them. You know, many of us here have sat under great teachers, of Sunday school teachers, been to Bible college, seminary, some of us. Are we praising God for all that we have heard and seen? We could probably spend several weeks here sharing stories of how we've seen God miraculously work in our lives. Are we still praising God for those? Or they just kind of become, meh, whatever, I'm used to it. But there's somebody you're going to meet this week that needs to hear you praising God for all you have seen and heard. You've been taught some incredible truths that somebody else needs to hear. And they honored God. They're humble. They heard. They heeded. And then they went out honoring, a natural response. They obeyed and they go see. Yeah, it's true. Look at this. He's proven himself. When has God proven himself to you? And is it only way in the distance past? Right? We just, series before this one was on growth. It's got to be current. We're currently growing. Is there new encounters with the risen Lord and Savior? And with how we're engaging in his word? Is there new things? Wow, look at what I just read this morning. All we have seen and heard, and are we praising God? Are we honoring God with that, glorifying God with this? Yes, it was a lowly position that they had. Do you ever feel inadequate? Yeah, but I'm not living this out perfectly, so I'm not the right guy to be praising God. Then remember the shepherds. They weren't living it out perfectly either. And yet God makes them a part of his story and history, proclaiming and praising God. He gets it that he works through broken vessels. We're not very uncomfortable with our own brokenness, but God's all right with it. He's already died for it. He's redeemed us, and he's commissioned us. Go and honor me. Go and praise me anyways. Even when you feel like you're in a really lowly position, remember the shepherds. Just acknowledge we need a Savior. I'm in need of guidance. I need grace and mercy every day. Doesn't surprise God. Praise him anyway. Maybe praise him because of that. Those who seek me, find me. Are we looking? Are we listening? Are we able to hear? Are we even reading the Bible, the main way, foundational way He has revealed Himself, the truth about Himself and the truth about us? Are we seeking? Are we willingly obeying? With haste, immediate, without hesitation, before we go, I'm not sure if I want to obey that command. Is there a trust, a growing trust and faith in our relationship with God? Are we honoring Him, sharing our experiences of God with others? Praising, thanking, remembering, retelling some of these stories, experiencing God currently, up close and personal? Or is this just while we're celebrating something 2,000 years ago? We're not just doing that. We're celebrating a risen Lord and Savior, and we're in relationship with Him today. We're celebrating all of that, all that He is, and all that He's done. Let's praise Him. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, You sent these shepherds to see what You were doing. And we've encountered what You were up to, what You were really doing, the real meaning of what's going on. Yes, people saw a baby born, but so much more was going on. And if You've opened our eyes and we can see You and we know You as the Lord and Savior, then we are also the commissioned ones. And You sent them out praising and glorifying You. This is one that they hit the ballpark. They hit it out of the park with. They just went totally out of character. God, would You waken us? Would You remind us some of the faithfulness, some of the things You've done for us? And may we have a God confidence, not a self-confidence, but a God confidence to just break into praise in whatever means it is, God, that we would praise You also. And in that happening, that Your work, Your kingdom is furthered. You did a work, a miraculous thing. This is just bewildering, astounding in Jesus coming. And You're still doing miracles. You did some more miracles by those shepherds going out. And the people asking, what is this thing going on among us? Father, may there be some around us. What is this thing that's going on? People are so open at Christmas time. Often, help us be open to what You are doing in their lives. And if we have a role to play, let's do it with passion and in this praising manner like these shepherds did, for Your glory and honor, I pray. Amen.